Well, good morning, Crossings. How are we doing this morning? Fantastic. Well, my name's Andy, one of the pastors here on staff. I get the privilege of bringing God's word to you this morning. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn to John chapter 16? And we're going to be starting in John 16, going to John 14 here in a second. But hey, as you get there, I wanted to bring you back to the year 2004. I was brand new. To the city in 2001. And so when I got here, I met a young lady. And in 2004, in the wintertime, there was one particular evening where I wanted to move our relationship from boyfriend-girlfriend to fiance. All right? This was the night. I had prepared. I had purchased the ring. Took her out to dinner. Didn't eat anything. She looked at me and said, "Why are you not eating? Are you okay?" I'm like, "I'm fine." I was not fine. I was nervous. My hands were sweaty, and I was internally freaking out. Gentlemen, you know this feeling, right? And so after dinner, we had gone back to my house, and I got down on one knee, and I asked her to marry me. Now, if you know my wife or you've heard about my wife, you know that she's a very sensitive person, and she is known to shed a tear on a regular basis. And so I was preparing to receive a flood of emotions, and what I got was dead silence. And what felt like 5 minutes to me, she swears was only like 10 seconds. But it was long enough where I had to say, "Well?" Because what I had said to her so shocked her system, she would later tell me that she was preparing for me to break up with her that night. I know, isn't that sweet? But I was so nervous leading up to it. I was not myself the weeks and days leading up, and for sure that night, she thought, he's gonna break up. But as her mind was going this way and my mind was going the other way, that's what brought the silence. I had shocked her system, and to let you off the hook, she did say yes eventually. And we moved on, right? And so the reason I tell you that story is Jesus did something very similar to his disciples where he shook them to the core in John 16, verse 7. So much so that I think the disciples may have felt just like Taylor felt that night where it was silent saying, "What did I just hear?" Because the disciples' minds were going one direction, and Jesus in one moment says, "I'm going another direction." So let's read this passage in John 16, 7 that made no sense to the disciples. Jesus says, "Nevertheless," in verse 7, "I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth," said Jesus. "It is for your benefit that I go away, that I leave. Because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you." In different versions of the Bible, in the New Living Translation, they translate it by Jesus saying, "It is better for you that I leave, so that the Holy Spirit may come." What in the world is better than Jesus? That had to have been what's going through the disciples' mind. What could be better than you? Right? They had just spent 3 years, day in, day out, seeing Jesus do incredible things, feeding people, healing people, comforting people, teaching people. And then he drops this. It's better, it is to your benefit, it is to your advantage that I leave. If this is true of the disciples, that it's better, then how much more for us do we need to wrestle with this text? It's better for them, it's to our advantage as believers that Jesus is not here physically. So this morning we are gonna talk about who is the Holy Spirit that Jesus said is better than having him physically with us. Now, we can come to this subject of the Holy Spirit like I have with a lot of baggage from our backgrounds. I grew up in a denomination that we didn't really acknowledge the Holy Spirit outside of just part of the Trinity. We were good with God the Father, check. We were good with Jesus, our Savior and King, check. Holy Spirit, okay, let's move on. You know, like that was kind of the feeling I got growing up. And so we never really spent a lot of time with this, or I didn't. And so I want to ask you this morning to as best you can, put aside your preconceived notions of what you may or may not think about the Holy Spirit. And let's just go to the most reliable source that we know of, and that is the words of Jesus himself. He is our teacher this morning. And so just a little context, if you're not familiar, in John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. He's giving them kind of his last words before he leaves. And so it's a tense thing. And in John 14, he launches into this conversation back and forth with his disciples where he's like, I'm about to go and you cannot follow. And you can feel the anxiety of the disciples in their response. It's that separation anxiety that we have. If you want to experience this after the service, go down to the children's hallway and watch the children get dropped off, and those little babies in their brains think mom is never coming back. And they freak out because they can't understand that, no, we'll be back really soon. I think that's how the disciples must have felt. Like, what are you talking about, Jesus? No, it can't be better that you would leave. And so Jesus comforts them in John 14, verse 18, where Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you. But you just said you were gonna leave us. It's as if, I think if I were to put myself in that moment, you ever go to like a party or a gathering and you meet somebody and they once they get to know you, they're like, oh, I've got somebody you have to meet. You ever experienced that? I have. John 14 is that to me. Jesus is telling his disciples, oh, I've got somebody you have to meet. And his name is the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. And so he comforts them because he gives no expectation, Jesus gives no expectation that we are to live out our faith and live out this faith journey without the Holy Spirit. So this morning, let's get curious together, can we? I love reading the Bible with curiosity. Instead of with determination, like, well, that's what it says. Like, no, let's dig in to find out what could Jesus possibly mean by saying, it is to your benefit. It is better that I go so that my Holy Spirit may come. So turn to John 14, 16, just two chapters back. We're gonna look at one verse this morning where Jesus says this to his disciples. I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. My first point this morning is that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is someone, not something. Again, I grew up thinking the Holy Spirit was an it or a ghost or like Star Wars, some sort of force. Okay? That's not what we see in Scripture, and that's not how Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. It's not an it, not a force. He is someone. He is part of the Holy Trinity. Now, I thought about going into some Trinitarian theology, but you know what? Bill Search did me a great favor this week. And this past Wednesday, he did an entire lesson on Wednesday night on the Trinity. And so I'll let you guys go back and listen to that. But I will point us to Dallas Willard, one of my favorite theologians. He just has a great way of describing things. And he describes the Trinity this way. God is a sweet society of persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a sweet society of persons. And the Trinity is how God has chosen throughout his word to reveal himself to us. Three in one. Jesus in Matthew 28 acknowledges this. In verse 19, Jesus says to his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. Paul, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Corinth, ends his letter by saying this, the grace of the Lord Jesus And the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Holy Spirit is God. That word fellowship there means communion and joint participation and intimacy with God. And then the apostle Peter in Acts 10 telling the Gentiles about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God, the Holy Spirit, was with Jesus. It's clear to see, as you read in Scripture, he is not an it. Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is God. He is not someone, or he is not something, he is someone. My second point this morning is that the Holy Spirit is Jesus' personal presence. Again, John 14, 16, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." That word counselor, I'll get to in a moment. I want to talk about the word right before it, another. It's an interesting word in the Greek, which, by the way, is an interesting way to read Scripture, is to recognize that as we read Scripture, it is a cross-cultural experience. And a lot of times the Greek language has a much more wholeness to it than the English language. And so when you look at this word, another, there's two common definitions of this word, the two uses. One is heteros and one is allos. Heteros means simply the idea of it's the same but different. It's like if I said, here's an apple and I'm going to give you another, but I give you an orange. They're both fruit, but they're different. The other term, and this is the term we find here that Jesus uses, is the term allos. And it means the same exact kind. Jesus says, the Father is going to give another just like me to you. Apples and apples. And the disciples would have known that word. This was their native language. And he, the Father, will give you another just like me, another helper, another comforter, another counselor, another advocate just like me. Because they just spent 3 years with Jesus, seeing him comfort, seeing him guide and lead and care for and heal. They know exactly who Jesus is. And Jesus says, I'm going to send you another just like me. If you want to know what the Holy Spirit is like, watch Jesus. Because he says, I'm going to give you another just like me. How did Jesus talk to people? How did he treat people? What are the things Jesus cared about? What were the things that made Jesus angry? The things that made Jesus weep? The Holy Spirit is the same. That's why Jesus can say in Matthew 28 to this same group of men, and remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus makes no distinction. He says, remember, I am with you to the very end of the age. You see, we can make an error when we start to think about Jesus or the Holy Spirit as an it or a force instead of a person of the Trinity. Because all through the Gospels and all through the New Testament letters, we see the Holy Spirit personified and we see him given personal attributes and characteristics. This is not an exhaustive list, but here's a list of some of the Holy Spirit's personality that would be just like Jesus. In Romans 8, we see that the Holy Spirit has a mind. In 1 Corinthians, we see that he has a will. In Romans 15 and Galatians 5, we see that the Holy Spirit has emotions such as love and joy. In Acts 9, we see the Holy Spirit comfort. In Hebrews 3 and 1 Timothy, we see the Holy Spirit speak. In John 16 and 1 Corinthians 2, we see the Holy Spirit teach. In Ephesians 4, we can see that the Holy Spirit can be made to feel sorrow and grief. In Hebrews 10, we see that he can be insulted. In Acts 7, we see the Holy Spirit can be resisted. And in Acts 5, we see the Holy Spirit can be lied to. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' personal presence. He is just like Jesus. You know, when I said earlier, I moved here in 2001, I was about 24 years old. And like every 24-year-old, I knew everything. I knew how to run my life. I knew how to do, just kidding, I didn't, okay? Just so you don't think I'm some sort of egomaniac. Like, I didn't. I very quickly realized I have no idea what's going on. I don't know how to do anything. And by God's grace and mercy, he introduced me to another pastor here in town. His name's Mike. And he and I would meet on a regular basis. And we would talk about life. We would talk about being a pastor. We would talk about ministry. We'd talk about finances. We would talk about how to study God's word. And he just kind of walked with me. He was my mentor and friend. And it was invaluable to me because I'd moved to Oklahoma City and I didn't know anyone within like 2,000 miles. I was alone. And Mike came alongside me and he walked with me. He showed me and he guided me. He corrected me. And you know what? One of the best things is he challenged my perspective often. And I share that only to say that when we see this text, this is another side of the Holy Spirit, that he is our mentor and companion. That is my third and last point this morning, is that the Holy Spirit is our lifelong companion. John 14:16, one more time. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another, just like me, counselor to be with you forever. That word, counselor, is the word parakletos. And we'll talk about this more next week. But one pastor wrote this. He says, the Holy Spirit is permanently called to be close alongside each believer to provide guidance, direction, understanding, instruction, and counsel in our life journey. That is his purpose. The Holy Spirit is how we access God. Growing up, I heard the phrase, do you want to invite Jesus into your heart? Now, at the chance of offending a few of us, the theological thought here is that we don't invite Jesus into our hearts. We invite the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Jesus says he is at the right hand of the Father. It is the Holy Spirit that dwells and walks with and lives with and journeys with the believer. It's the Holy Spirit who is always with us. And it doesn't matter whether it's the chaos of a day like yesterday or just the regular busyness of life and work and family and relationships. The Holy Spirit is with you wherever you go forever. This is the gift. Are you starting to see why Jesus said it is better that my Holy Spirit comes so that he may be with you? Because life is crazy, isn't it? It's ups and downs, mountaintops and valleys, plateaus. But here's the comfort, is the comforter and the counselor is with you always. There's nowhere you as a believer and follower of Jesus can go apart from his Spirit. He's with you, counseling you, comforting you, encouraging you, strengthening you. But here's what I have learned in my life. Is that because of the chaos and because of the busyness, it is really easy in my humanity to forget and go back to that feeling where I'm just alone in life. And so the most helpful thing for me is to follow what Jesus has modeled for us, and that is to get alone on a regular basis, probably daily, to a quiet place to slow down and meet with the Lord. Jesus did this regularly. I mean, chaos was chasing Jesus. Busyness pursued him, and Jesus said, no, I'm going to withdraw. I'm going to get alone, because at the end of the day, Jesus did nothing without the Spirit. Jesus did nothing without the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 1, we see that Jesus was born of the Spirit. In Luke 3, we see that he is anointed with the Spirit. In John 33, they see that Jesus is filled without measure with the Spirit. And in Luke 4 and Acts 10, we see that Jesus is empowered by the Spirit. And in Romans 8, we are told that Jesus was raised by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did nothing without the Spirit. So why in the world would we try and grind out our Christian faith on our own gifts and our own talents and say, I got this, instead of doing what Jesus did and getting alone every morning to remind ourselves that our lifelong companion, the Holy Spirit, is with you. Into the chaos, into the busyness, into the heartache, into the celebration and the victories, the Holy Spirit's with you. God gives us his Holy Spirit as believers, as followers of Jesus, as a wonderful lifelong companion. And as I said earlier, there is no expectation of you or me to do anything in our life as believers without the Holy Spirit. There's no story where Jesus says, hey, you're on your own, good luck. This passage says the exact opposite. He says, it is better, it is to your benefit that I leave so that my Holy Spirit may be with you forever. This is what Jesus has taught us about the Holy Spirit. The question that you and I need to wrestle with is, will we believe Jesus? Will we believe that the Holy Spirit's presence in our life is better? It's to your advantage. It's to my benefit. So here's where we've been this morning. The Holy Spirit is, first and foremost, God. The Holy Spirit is Jesus's personal presence. And the Holy Spirit is our lifelong companion. So what do we do with this morning? Other than just head knowledge, what do? I want to suggest the first thing is to trust and follow Jesus. In an audience, this crowd, and those watching online, I don't want to ever make the assumption that everyone in here is a follower of Jesus. Because if we're not a follower of Jesus, we are on our own. The Holy Spirit is not with. We're on our own. It is up to our talents and our giftings and our wirings. And we got to grind out life. The comfort that we have as believers is that God says, I will send my counselor to you, and he will dwell with you and be with you forever. So if you are not a follower of Jesus, I would offer, why wait any longer to do one more day without the wonderful counselor named the Holy Spirit to walk with you and guide you and lead you and comfort you? Secondly, for those who are believers, would you be willing to get curious about the Holy Spirit? Would you allow your preconceived notions or maybe what you grew up with and say, you know, I'm gonna put those aside for a minute and I'm gonna dive into what does Jesus say about this wonderful gift that he claims is to our benefit? Would you be willing to get curious? And then thirdly, whether you're in the chaos or whether you're in the busyness or just the quietness of a moment while you wash the dishes, while you drive your car, would you ask the Holy Spirit to increase your awareness of his presence with you? I've found the best way to do this is to attach it to one of those rhythms that we already have in our life. Maybe it's in the shower, maybe it's driving to work, maybe it's that first cup of coffee in the morning. Is connected with something that you already do and say, Holy Spirit, would you help me today be more aware of your activity in my life, that you are with me as I go into this meeting, as I prepare for this situation, Holy Spirit, would you make me more aware of your presence with me? And would you guide me and lead me and do what you said you would do? You know, occasionally I go to the state fair. And when I do, there's always one thing that I want, and that is the cinnamon roll. You know what I'm talking about. You go in, you pay your money, and then you're like, all right, you see people walking around, I want some of that. And then you make your way over and you realize, oh, there's a line. It is so long, man. It is 100 degrees out here. You know what? I'll do it later. And we walk away. Here's the wonderful news that Jesus has told his disciples. There is no line to meet with him. There's no line. If Jesus were here in person, the line would be longer than our lifespan, because all of humanity would want to meet with Jesus. And so in his wonderful, infinite, sovereign wisdom, he said, it will be better if I leave so that my Holy Spirit may be with you. And now, for the believer, the Christian, you have 24/7, 365-day access to the presence of God. So let's lean in. Let's lean in to what Jesus said is to your benefit. I'm gonna pray here in a moment, and then afterwards, we're gonna have a few announcements to share with you before we dismiss. But would you pray with me? God, we thank you for your word, especially in days and weeks that seem so crazy. That we can go to your word and we can see the words of Jesus that bring comfort to our souls and purpose for our life. Holy Spirit, would you please make us more aware of your presence with us as we go about our days, as we speak, as we talk, as we contemplate. Holy Spirit, would you lead us, would you guide us, that what comes out of our mouths and as we sit with you would be for your glory and for our good. Lord, we give these things to you this morning in your son's name, amen.